But I'm Stephen Hall. I'm a member of one of the founders of the Wigan Diggers Festival here in Wigan, and we're presently located right in the slap bang in the centre of Wigan, in fact next to the Roman remains of Cockium, which was a former Roman settlement in the area.
So what caused you to start this festival? What's it all about?
Well, as I said to other people, we were walking through from here where we are now to the pub just about 200 yards away called the Amble on one occasion, and I asked one of the guys who lives, just happens to live in Wigan, I said, who's this Gerard Winsterley guy this builder's named after? And he said, well, he was leader of the diggers. And I said, what do you mean he was leader of the diggers? And he said, you know, who Billy Bragg sang about. And that song, sang by Billy Bragg, always, since I heard it for the first time in Blackpool, when Billy, you know, I heard Billy Bragg sing it, I thought, what a great bunch of people these diggers sound like. They were defying the landlords and defying the law, and they were the dispossessed reclaiming what were there. And I thought, wow, what's he got to do with Wigan? And Tony said to me, Tony Broxton he was called, he said, well, he were born in Wigan. I thought, wow, fancy we come from Wigan. I thought, I've always loved that song, thought, what a great bunch of people here. And I'm just astounded that I didn't know about this thing, and that nothing's ever, you know, nobody in Wigan's ever thought to celebrate their association with somebody who sounds like a patently fantastic guy and a movement that, you know, I clearly identify from the first time I heard somebody singing a song about it.
Hang on, because, you know, this is part of our history. It's almost as if, I mean, it was Christopher Hill that was writing about the diggers after the Second World War. It's almost as if it was, even though, you know, they've got this massive education system, this part of history was being kept from the people.
Yeah, you're right, I think it was. I mean, I went to university, I studied politics and history of industrial societies at university at Salford, right, and I didn't know about it, you know. Literally, I thought, I couldn't believe it, you know, 11 years ago this, and about 7 weeks earlier, you know, we organised the first festival within 7 weeks, and we had it in a pub. We had over 500 people came to it, and I thought, how comes I've lived to be, you know, 50 odd year old and an history student, I didn't even know about this stuff. And you know, we came to a point of view, look, we need to put this guy back on map. So we set up a committee, the aim of which is to promote, you know, recognition of Winsterley as a great figure from Wigan, his influence on modern, you know, socialist, egalitarian views. And since that day, we've had every year, we've had a pretty successful event, which draws about 5,000 people, where we have, a lot of lefty artists who identify with Winsterley, stalls from various groups who, of a socially progressive nature, from, you know, I mean, all types of groups, you know, and we've had people from all over the world come to. We've had people from Turkey, Canada, Vancouver, you know, all over Britain, Wellingborough, where there's another diggers festival. You people like yourself, Tony, you know, who are involved with the landing at ours, and it's caught on as an idea. In fact, two of the stockbrokers on stage at moments even wrote a song about they weren't only digging in Surrey, they were digging in Wellingborough and Wigan. You know, we've even had a song written about us. And Wikipedia says it, we celebrate Winsterley every year.
Well, it's a good excuse for a bit of a booze up.
Well,
but
what's good do with Wigan as well? It's like part of our DNA.
Well, yeah, but has it actually relevant, Winstanley, today?
Oh, very much so. I mean, Winsterley said, you know, the earth was made a common treasury for all, and I believe that, you know. At what point, you know, we're all genetically related to mitochondrial Eve. At what point, you know, did somebody say, you lot are all out there, you own everything, and you lot all work for them? I don't think that thing ever existed. I agree. Theft and murder. By theft and murder, they took the land. And we need to take it back off them. We need a society where majority of people dictate what happens, not a small minority who exploits everybody else. And Winsterley was a pioneer of British, English, I should say, socialist, communist, whatever you call, and a great guy. And, I'm a Winsterleyist.
Well, yeah, but this is all pie in the sky. In the real world, money rules the world.
Well, it does currently, but capitalism, you know, at the end of the day, it cannot continue. Not only are we threatened, as George Monbiot said, you know, with a climate catastrophe, we continue with it. It doesn't, you know, distribute wealth in any form of socially justifiable way. You know, we end up with, what is it, 50 people or more money than half of world's population, have more wealth than half of world's population. And we need to recognise that, yes, it may well be the situation these people dominate now, but, you know, there's a lot more of us than there are of them.
Yeah, but the richest answer is always have a war, let's wipe out the poor.
Well, yes, they do that, and, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to start, those of us who, you know, I mean, we're not an uneducated bunch of people. We need to, you know, explain, however hard it is, to put that in public, you know, there's a lot more of us than there are of them. We can run society. In fact, we do run society on a daily basis, and we can do so without them, and we can distribute the wealth we produce more evenly than what was in at the moment, and fight climate change and solve most of the world's problems in the process.
You've also got things like T-shirts, and even here, a bottle of merchandise Digger's Wine.
Yeah, I think we're stretching point there. Do you think that, Peter? I think we've got about, you know, I think it's a bridge too far, that, really. Digger's Wine, you know. We were saying we don't think Winston Lee probably approve of that, really.
Well, unless he grew his own grapes.
I suppose if we had some vineyard in Wigan and we grown it ourselves, that would be all right, but I think we've just bought in some cheap old plug from somewhere.
Anyway, look, Win Stanley was born in Wigan. Do you know anything about what he was doing up here before he became famous south?
We understand he probably went to Wigan Grammar School. He was somebody, obviously, who went to school soon after the publication for the first time of the Bible in English. So one of the first people literate enough to and able to read Bible in English. Which you can imagine was a pretty big eye-opener.
They're saying, hang on a minute, all you priests, look at what it says here.
Yeah, and a lot of his work is, you know, based on biblical text, a reference to it. And, you know, what can I say? I think a lot of what he had to say is spot on.
I mean, what was going on in the Civil War? A lot of people, historians, will look upon it as a battle going on, really, between the old feudal system and the new merchant classes. And it was a battle, really, which the merchant classes won. They basically booted out the king, didn't they?
However, though, it didn't take them very long after Cromwell's death to say, all right, let's go back to monarchy. So, otherwise we wouldn't have monarchy today, would we? Restoration of monarchy, whatever it was, 1660 something.
What I'm trying to get at is that the Civil War isn't really taught very much to British kids.
No,
so where can you sum it up in a nutshell? What was going on?
Well, what you said, you know, it was the merchant class basically say, well, whatever you think, divine right of kings or not, you know, we're in charge now, and we will determine what happens. And in fact, for the next period of 50 years after that, because we had James II, who basically said, you know, I'm into divine right of kings again, they said, well, sorry, they ended up inviting, what's it, William of Orange, leader, you know, of a foreign country, to invade us. Which you can imagine, you know, that seems very strange. Can you come and invade our country? And I'm a guy who's king at the moment. And the Battle of the Boyne and all that type of stuff. That settlement, that was it called the Glorious Revolution? Which again, like the Magna Carta, you know, I don't think anybody ever signed, was about saying, you know, Parliament's in charge, we're in charge, and as long as you do what you're told, you're all right being a figurehead.
But the big, the background to all of this is enclosure. That's the Win Stanley was fighting, this idea of privatisation of land. I noticed it hasn't stopped. It's still going on apace. I mean, Anna Minton wrote a book a few years ago called Ground Control, Privatisation of Our City Centres. The idea is that a load of scaffolding goes up, a kind of shopping centre is built, and all of a sudden it's private property, it's private land.
Hey, don't worry, I've experienced that when I've been out handing leaflets out there and they said this is private property, and I think, well, you know, what do you mean? Yeah, you're right. I mean, in some respect, the difficulty people like Winston had is the period of time he lived in. the enclosure movement, which creates a lot of, you know, work, you know, people who had no money, were propertyless, they didn't have any access to land, coincided with, like, the expansion of colonies in America.
Well, that's right, the Industrial Revolution and the expansion of the empire.
And well, yeah, beginning of it all, start of it all, and people were, you know, if you Greek sign up 10 years indentures with such a body, they'll pay for you to go on a boat to America. Were after your 10 years of working for them, you could go and rob some of Native America's lands as well, and a lot of people did. A lot of the problems associated with enclosure and the creation of a lot of propertyless former peasants, stock agriculture workers, we might call now, is that it was in America, is the colonization of America and expansion.
They went over to Ireland, didn't they? There were plantations in Ireland.
Obviously different. It seemed to be a lot of people from Scotland, Protestants and things. Yeah, that, you're right.
The plantations, and so it is really relevant today, I think.
We're all tied up with all struggle against Catholicism and English national independence from the Pope, you know, from this central power in Rome. Which in some respects, I'm not a religious person myself, but do see that Protestantism as such was an advance on the previous Catholic predominance and religion.
Anyway, look, whereabouts can people find out more about the Diggers?
They can go to our festival, WiganDiggersFestival.org. That's where we have all our sites. We've got a Facebook page, group. Very welcome to come and join us on it and visit any of those sites. There's a lot of stuff out elsewhere. There's not just us. I mean, as you've just discovered earlier, there's Bolton Diggers Group, totally independent from us, who do loads of stuff about urban growing, permaculture. In fact, do a lot more digging than we do. We're in contact with, delighted to work with, and we do work with them. We've been on anti-fracking demos and stuff like that with them, and people like yourself involved in things like Landy's Hours, the Wellingborough Diggers, even we had the Runnymede Diggers, and you can even find videos online about the San Francisco Diggers, who were inspired by Winston Lett to offer free medical treatments and free cheap clothing and stuff like that. Peter Coyote was involved with them, you know, the guy was in the 4400 TV series, and when you can buy that with the LSD, I think you got the hippies. You've not seen the San Francisco? Hey, yeah, you think, wow,
far out.
Hippiedom is Gerard Winston Lippos LSD.
Anyway, I mean, you've proved here that socialism is still alive and well in this part of the country.
Well, it is, yeah. I mean, actually, Wigan's one of the safest Labour seats in country, sadly. Don't quote me.
Am I allowed to ask about your MP and whether you're...
No, I don't actually live in Wigan Borough. The Wigan parliamentary seat, I live in Bolt West. And in fact, I live in a town now, interestingly enough, it's only 25,000. But a border between two constituents runs through the middle of it. And we've got two Tory MPs.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Former mining village, you know.
That is because of Brexit, isn't it?
It was. And people who, in places like Lee, Labour Party, who've neglected. And because they've never challenged this hostility to, like, foreigners, the xenophobia, rather than, I would say, racism, fear of foreigners, never challenged this stuff, then found himself at butt end of a, you know, UKIP, Brexit Party, Nigel Farage, backlash, you know, let's blame it all on the Poles, you know. What can I say? I voted staying.
Anyway, look, what about, just remind us of the website again.
WiganDiggersFestival.org. You can get me one, though. I'll be trying to get some bathroom.